This is a rebroadcast of Migrant Matters. You're listening to CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph.
The Syrian refugee crisis is shocking many Canadians and the kind world citizens. Stephen Harper is promising to bring 10,000 refugees, but over the period of next 3 years. Can we believe in the promise of Stephen Harper? Let's look what he does with the existing refugee claimants in Canada. He cut the healthcare benefits of some categories of refugee claimants to save the cost and to help him produce the so-called balanced budget. He claimed those refugee claimants are bogus claimants. Some refugee claimants do not have any sort of healthcare coverage. If they have any communicable diseases, in that case, they will be treated for free, because not treating a communicable disease will allow the disease to be spread in the community. Otherwise, if they have any non-communicable diseases, or if they are pregnant, in that case, they will not be provided with care for free. Dr. Michael Stevenson is a family physician who is very passionate about helping those refugees that do not receive adequate support in other places. He opened a refugee health center called Sanctuary Refugee Health Center in Kitchener solely to serve those refugees that do not receive adequate support in other places. In his clinic, every week he sees at least 5 to 10% of his refugee claimant clients that do not have any sort of healthcare coverage. He sees them on a pro bono basis. I had a chance to talk with this dedicated family physician at his Sanctuary Refugee Health Center in Kitchener. In the next 23 minutes, you will be able to listen the interview I had with this generous family physician, Dr. Michael Stevenson. Hello, this is CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. My name is Koba. I am here at Sanctuary Refugee Health Center in Kitchener. With me here is Dr. Michael Stevenson. Hello, Dr. Michael Stevenson.
Hello.
Thanks for coming into our show.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Mm-hmm. Can you please describe yourself, who you are, what you are doing, that kind of stuff?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm a family doctor who attended the University of Guelph a number of years ago. Two years ago, I created Sanctuary Refugee Health Center. So it's a health clinic for newcomer refugees to the Waterloo-Wellington area.
Mm-hmm. What group of refugees you are serving?
Mm-hmm. So I have, we have patients from across the region, including Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, Guelph, some of the outlying communities, as well as some from the west end of Toronto who come this way as well. There are individuals who came to Canada as government-assisted refugees, as privately sponsored refugees, or refugee claimants from countries around the world. I think at last count we had over 40 countries of origin amongst the patients who come here.
You said you also receive patients from Guelph.
Yes.
Can you say roughly how many of them you are seeing?
Yeah, we have a fair number, probably somewhere around 20 to 30 of the patients come from Guelph.
Oh.
You know, obviously it's a bit of a trek for people to come all this way, so it's not the easiest thing. People have to have transportation to come here. Certainly, a lot of our patients come first to Kitchener. Kitchener is a hub of a relocation hub for the federal government. It's one of the cities around the country that the federal government will relocate people to. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people start out in Kitchener, but then after they've been here for some time, they branch out into some of the surrounding communities.
Mm-hmm. You are talking about state-sponsored refugees, right?
That's right. What we call government-assisted refugees. Yeah.
Are the refugee claimants may not necessarily shifted to Kitchener? They can live in anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly we do see a number of refugee claimants from Guelph, especially. Yeah.
Can you describe what brought the passion in you to help refugees?
Mm-hmm. I don't think it was a single event, a single thing that really made me interested in this area. I do recall seeing, when I was in medical school, seeing a talk by a former refugee who he himself had come to Canada a number of years before after being subject to torture and imprisonment. I was very interested by what he had to say in terms of his journey of recovery, of healing, and the role that his own family doctor had played in that. It appealed to me in a number of ways. That kind of work appealed to me. I think it's certainly it's something that's it challenges your own assumptions and your own beliefs. Really forces you to understand your own cultural context of health. I think there's a lot of capacity for a physician working in this area or a health professional working in this area to really bring about positive change, to empower people.
What was your medical school?
So I went to Queen's University, I did my residency at McGill in Montreal.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah. Please tell us about the brief history of forming this Sanctuary Refugee Health Center.
Sure, yeah. So I used to work for Access Alliance Community Health Center in Toronto, which is another health center exclusively for refugees and newcomers. Through personal circumstance, I relocated to the Kitchener-Waterloo area and really wanted to continue the work that I was doing. Mm-hmm. So I looked around for opportunities and didn't find any. And it had always been something in the back of my mind to start up my own clinic, with some of the ideas the things that I've seen done well and done not so well over the last number of years while in practice. I contacted local service agencies and they were very enthusiastic. They saw the need for this kind of thing. So on August 4th, Refugee Rights Day, in 2013, we opened our doors. Mm-hmm. We were based out of a church for about 6 months until we found this space where we are right now, which is our permanent home here on King Street in Kitchener. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've grown from 1 day a week to 2.5 to 3 days a week. We have over 800 patients here now, so it's a very busy place.
800 registered clients, and you see them 2.5 days weekly.
Yep.
So every day you can expect a high volume of.
Yeah, it really depends on the day. Our busy days we might see somewhere around 40 patients. Mm-hmm. Our less busy days, we may see 10 or 15. But there's always lots of issues, lots to work on. So even when there's 10 patients, we're busy.
Mm-hmm. How are you operating now?
We run on a fee-for-service model. Bill whichever government the patient falls under. So some patients fall under OHIP, the provincial health plan. Some patients bill the federal government under a program called the Interim Federal Health Program. And some patients, they have no health coverage, and so we don't bill for them. We see them pro bono. And we just use the income generated to support the programs and the overhead costs of the of the clinic here. Yeah.
How many refugees that don't have a healthcare coverage are seen per week?
It really depends on the week. We probably have about something like 5% of our patients, maybe up to 10% at any given time, who lack healthcare coverage. We work with them to find ways to reestablish that healthcare coverage. Obviously, you know, I will see them on a volunteer basis, but it's not always easy to convince the hospitals or the laboratories to do the same, specialists and so forth. So, you know, it's important. We believe that everyone should have healthcare and should have the coverage for that. And so we, you know, we work with people to find ways to get that again.
You are also working in the community health center.
That's correct, yes.
In my understanding, the community health center have a budget line to help marginalized population.
That's right, yeah.
And it's my understanding that they also receive funding to help these refugees that do not have a healthcare card. Is it possible for you to take those patients to the healthcare center?
You know, you're right that all community health centers across Ontario do have funding, a small amount of funding. I should say a variable amount of funding for uninsured populations. It really depends on the location of that health center. So, for example, in downtown Toronto, they have a bigger budget for that sort of thing than the ones do here in the in this region. Certainly, we have encountered patients who did not come to Canada as refugees. They came through different means and were finding themselves uninsured. And we've worked with local community health centers to help get those individuals the healthcare that they need. You know, our strength, our focus is really on refugees, and we certainly sympathize with individuals who come other ways who have no health coverage, and so we like to work with them to find them more sustainable solutions.
Do community health center receive other form of funding, like from the local municipal government or local health integration network, something like that?
Yeah, so community health centers are funded through local health integration networks. That's where they receive their budget, you know, they have complicated negotiations that I'm not a part of. I can't speak to, but certainly that's where they get their support.
I thought Association of Ontario Community Health Center is the one that looks after the community health center, and also I thought they are the one funding community health center.
So they're an association that works with the community health centers across Ontario to help work on common issues across Ontario. But my understanding is that community health centers are funded directly through the LINS, the local health integration networks.
Does the community health center receive funding from municipal government?
Not to my knowledge, no.
So the health units receive some funding in part, right? That's my understanding.
The public health units?
Yeah.
I believe so. I believe they have a substantial amount of municipal funding.
With regards to community health center, you're not sure, right?
Well, as I say, I'm an employee of a community health center. So, I'm not the one to talk to.
I just wanted to figure out the complex nature of providing healthcare to...
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's very complex in that there are different levels of government involved with refugees. There's different programs at each level of government that touch upon refugee health. And so it's a very complicated environment, for sure.
And also, you previously explained to me that some refugees are fully covered, mm-hmm. some refugees are partly covered,
yeah.
some refugees are not covered at
exactly.
all.
Exactly, yeah. So it used to be before 2012 that anyone in the country under the class of refugee, so whether they're a refugee claimant, whether they're a resettled refugee, a privately sponsored refugee, all had the same access to the same health program. In June of 2012, the federal government cut particularly refugee claimant benefits to the point where some refugee claimants had no health coverage. It's been a pretty drastic change in the lives of a lot of people. There was a court challenge to those changes, and the courts did side with the doctors and lawyers making the challenge and agreed that these cuts were unconstitutional and unfair. And so some of those services have been reestablished, but it's still a very complicated scenario. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, in my understanding, mm-hmm. the government has to provide service to all the people mm-hmm. Equally mm-hmm. within the refugee. Mm-hmm. If they are classifying mm-hmm. some people to receive benefit and some people not, then they have to have a rationale. Mm-hmm. They have to have a system to make that classification.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that speaks to the very heart of the issue, that and that came out in the decision of the courts, that the government was unjustly identifying individuals that they deemed that essentially were making individuals unequal under the law,
mm-hmm.
It was putting people's lives at risk, and in fact there have been reports of people dying because of these changes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's obviously an issue and continues to be an issue to mm-hmm. this day.
What is the special issues that you see in mm-hmm. refugees' health?
Yep. So I mean, we see all sorts of issues. We see everything from babies just after birth to the very elderly. And we see issues that are typical and common in Canada as well. So things like diabetes and high blood pressure and things of that nature. We see illnesses here that are not very common in Canada, but maybe common in the countries that individuals come from. So hepatitis, for example, is something that in some countries is very common. And certainly we see a lot of mental health diagnoses, a lot of distress and stress from, mm-hmm. from resettlement and from past persecution that the individuals have been through.
Mm-hmm. Torture survivors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, torture survivors, survivors of war, of persecution, individuals that have been, they've been persecuted their entire lives because of who they are or what they believe or things like that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Other than the funding support that you receive mm-hmm. from the government,
mm-hmm.
who are the supporters mm-hmm. Of your service?
Yeah, so certainly we couldn't do the work we do without the social service agencies in the region. So groups like Reception House of Waterloo Region, Mennonite Coalition for Refugee Support, YMCA Immigrant Services, the Multicultural Center of Kitchener and Waterloo, they all support the work that we're doing, and oftentimes we work together with other agencies mm-hmm. for common clients.
Yeah. What kind of support they are offering?
So often they will supply referrals, so they identify the patients in the community that would benefit from being at our health center. Often we work together to case manage certain situations. So, for example, if somebody comes in with food insecurity or their housing is at risk, they, you know, we can work together with other agencies that can provide certain levels of support that we're unable to.
Yeah. So these services beyond health services.
Yeah.
You're also looking at the social impact and the health issues that arise from the social disadvantage.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it all impacts on health, and health impacts on it all. So, for example, if you don't have enough money to buy food to eat, you know, it doesn't really matter what medications you're on for diabetes. You know, I think the food security issue is more important than getting your sugar under control. And vice versa, if you, you know, if you are having... you know, if you're suffering from severe mental health issues, that may impact on your housing, on your ability to find employment and things like that. So I think I like to say it's all health, but others may say it's all, you know, it's all social services.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Actually, I want to acknowledge that I have not seen nowadays family physicians that care about the social circumstance of patients, because they are very busy. They run patient after patient.
You know, I think it's emerging in medicine that you know, physicians are ignoring the social angle to the detriment of care. And you know, I certainly applaud the work that some of my colleagues, for example, Dr. Gary Block in Toronto, do around poverty and how poverty is a health indicator and things like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also understand that this office is run with the help of volunteers.
Yep. So we have something like 17 volunteers. It's always a little bit in flux. So, yeah, lots of volunteers participating in the clinic. Yeah.
What kind of volunteer work they are doing?
Everything from our receptionists, our volunteers, to you know, help with the statistics and the health records that we have. Those are all generated and maintained by volunteers. We certainly have volunteer students that we offer placements to. We have volunteer professionals who come in, doctors and nurses who come in and generously donate their time to us.
Are you looking for volunteers?
We're always looking for volunteers. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what are the benefits a volunteer will get by doing volunteer work?
It really depends on an individual's skills and certifications. You know, someone who's a volunteer physician, for example, you know, would be, you know, we would work with them to help them to have the tools that they need to see our patients and assess our patients and treat them. You know, someone who comes from a different background, you know, they're really, what we do is we try and match people's interests with what we're able to offer them. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they'll gain some of the insights and experiences that I was talking about earlier, in terms of learning about other cultures and learning about our own culture and how that impacts our ways of belief, of our ways of looking at health and our beliefs about health. Yeah.
What can you say about the current awareness about your service in this region?
I think it's improving. Certainly, we're working to make health planners aware of the need of the services that we're providing. You know, in the long term, obviously, we'd like to grow and expand and serve more than the populations we're serving now. So, you know, certainly amongst the refugee community, it seems that lots of people are hearing about it. We get lots of calls from prospective patients. And I think a lot of social service agencies as well know about it. Yeah.
I believe that your volunteers also can do outreach work, right?
Yeah.
Tell about your services.
Yeah, exactly.
And to gather supports from the public and organizations.
Yeah, exactly.
You said that considerable amount of people are coming mm-hmm. from Gulf as well.
Mm-hmm.
If there is government support and the public support to create a refugee clinic there,
mm-hmm.
will you consider helping?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I've always thought about is that, you know, I would like to do more outreach in Guelph in particular, as well as communities like Cambridge that have sizable refugee populations that may not be able to come to us here in the clinic. Mm-hmm. So I've always thought about, you know, having a bit more of a mobile clinic to travel mm-hmm. to the different communities and meet people where they are rather than forcing them to come here.
Mm-hmm. Who will be the contact person if you mm-hmm. are willing to help mm-hmm. refugees in other cities?
Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly, you know, I would encourage people in other cities to make themselves aware of what social service agencies, you know, community groups and partnerships exist in their community to help refugees. There's a lot of activity in Guelph, for example. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest contacting them. You know, people who are interested in volunteering here or learning more about us are always welcome to contact us.
Mm-hmm. Finally, I heard about some work that you have initiated with the mm-hmm. Canadian Mental Health Association.
Yeah, so we're working with a few different partners, including CMHA, Reception House, a group called Welcome Home. We're looking at creating a hub of services, so a physical space that would act as sort of one-stop shopping for refugees. So that a place where they could come, they could feel welcome, they could access different services that they may need, both health and social services. Really what we're looking at is making it easier for individuals to get the access to the programs that they need, but also to raise awareness in the community that these issues exist and have a place for community members to come and find out more about what a refugee is, why these issues are important, and why individuals who are newcomers to Canada and to the region need access to services, why that investment makes sense, and why that builds a stronger community and a stronger country.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your interview. I really appreciate your good work you are doing on a service-minded basis, mm-hmm. and that's really applaudable. I hope that more and more volunteers and supporters mm-hmm. will provide mm-hmm. more support to you mm-hmm. and your work will progress.
Mm-hmm. Thank more. You. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for that.
You just listened to the interview I had with Dr. Michael Stevenson. You also heard about the type of compassionate care the Stephen Harper government has provided to the existing refugee claimants. Now, it is your turn to assess Mr. Stephen Harper's government ability to support Syrian refugees and to provide compassionate care for them. Keep in mind, election is coming soon.